The cross and the resurrection, the two greatest events in the history of the world. And today we've come together to remember that and celebrate that. And I'd like to read from part of that story of the resurrection of Jesus. I'd like to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. I'd like to ask you to stand. Some people might want to read along in a Bible, and you're welcome to do that. If not, listen to the story as John records it of that first encounter on Easter morning. John chapter 20, I'm going to read verses 1 through 18. And today I'd like to focus on a woman named Mary Magdalene and her life. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went to the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni." "Mary," Jesus said. And it changed Mary's life. Thank you. You may be seated. The first Easter morning was filled with amazing first pain, excitement, anxiety. I notice in verse 1 that Mary went to the tomb when it was still dark. We would expect that it was the end of the Sabbath and they weren't to go to the tomb on the Sabbath. And so as soon as the Sabbath was over, I imagine it this way, that Mary and also the other two Marys that are listed in the other Gospels and all the disciples and probably a whole lot of people in Jerusalem had been all night, probably up all night anyway, overwhelmed with sorrow and grief, and they couldn't stop thinking about the events that had taken place a day and a half earlier. So much hope did Mary have, and the apostles and the disciples. They thought they understood who Jesus was. They thought they understood that Jesus came to be the conqueror. He came to be the king. He was called that in many places, and yet the king was instead, his life was snuffed out, and with immense cruelty and evilness, they could see how it was all coming together, and they thought somehow Jesus was going to change it all at the end, but he didn't. Instead, he allowed himself to be first beaten and then nailed to a cross. Can only imagine what was going through the hearts and the minds of Mary Magdalene and those on that last night before Easter morning. Of course, we weren't there, and we don't know, but we imagine the fear that they felt and how traumatic it had to be for them and their understanding of God and their understanding of righteousness and what was going to happen. In the darkness of that third day, I just imagine that Mary and the other two Marys told in the other Gospels got up early to bring some of the perfumes and things to anoint the body of Jesus again. It says in verse 1, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. I can imagine what Mary must have first thought when she saw the stone had been removed. There she was crying and grieving. She had all kinds of unanswered questions, and it was just getting worse. Her hopes had been shattered. Her life had not gone the way that she had hoped it would at that point. She had seen him die. She had been there at the cross. She saw when they took the nails and they put it in his hands, and she thought, Jesus, you can stop this, but he didn't. But one thing that I've always liked about every story in the Bible that connects to me is that the people that are in the stories are just human people like us. They're people with emotions. They're people with fears. There's people with disappointments. There's people that have undergone all kinds of things just like you and I do in life. And it's the same with the three people that I see in this story. They're very human, a lot like us. They're not super people. We sometimes want to elevate people in the Bible like they're just super people, and we could never be anything close to accomplishing like they do and understand like they do. But we realize that Mary Magdalene especially and Peter and John, they're a lot like us. They didn't have it all figured out. Not everything in their life went perfect. They had problems. They had issues. They had things that plagued them and bothered them. They faced times of doubt. They faced times of darkness. They faced failures in their own lives. You think of Peter just 2 days earlier and how he had denied Jesus. And all of the people that are found in the Bible were just human except one, and that's Jesus, who was fully divine. He was able to take on the sins of man and go to the cross because he could bear what we could not bear. And we see in this story these two disciples named Peter and John. There's a lot of running going on in the Easter story. First of all, the women go to the tomb, and then Mary Magdalene, it says, runs to find the disciples. And then the two disciples run to go to the tomb and figure out what has happened. Imagine what would be going on in Peter and John's minds as well. They had been close to Jesus. They had lived with him and walked with him and been around him for 3 years. They had pledged their loyalty. Peter said he would die for Jesus. And what does he do when the opportunity comes up? He runs away. I'm sure for Peter and John, they had a lot of questions. They didn't understand this. They won't understand the resurrection till probably later that evening or the next day when Jesus appears to them the second and the third time. They're beginning to put it all together. Everything that they knew about the Old Testament, everything that Jesus had tried to explain to them, and the cross especially. They didn't understand the cross, but after the resurrection, then they begin to bring it all together. And then on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes, he puts in them such a fire and ability to tell the story and the witness that the world has been changed by the witness that came out of the resurrection of Jesus. And then we come to Mary Magdalene. She comes back to the tomb. In this part of the story, there's really three elements. Mary and the women come first, then they go get the disciples, and they come and they leave. But it's interesting that we're told in this verse that Mary stays. She comes back to the tomb. Everybody else has left by this time, but Mary comes back. Verse 10 says, "Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.'" You know, there's times in our lives where we have a lot of questions about where Jesus might be. There's times in our lives when we don't understand the plan of God, when we don't understand why people have done what they have, and even maybe how God has responded. Mary did not know where Jesus was. In this part of the story, in her grieving heart, she was saying to those two angels at the tomb, "I don't know where Jesus is." She thought somebody had taken Jesus and taken his body away, and that rumor had gone around, but she didn't know where Jesus was. I wonder if there might be times in your life when you don't know where Jesus is. You wonder, is he real? Is he alive? Can he hear me? Does he know that I exist? Does he care about the problems? Does he care about my family? Does he care about my situation? I want to say to you today, we live on the other side of the resurrection, and I can promise you today that Jesus is alive and he knows about your life. He knows about everything going on in your world, in your life. He knows about what you believe. He knows about what you struggle with. He knows about your relationships. He knows about the hurts and the pains in your life. The mighty Jesus who has risen from the dead. Mary stood on one side of the resurrection and wondered, where is Jesus? Oh, we also have an opportunity today to celebrate and remember that Jesus is alive and he knows where you're at. He knows your life. He knows your needs and he cares deeply about you. She stood outside the tomb, it says, crying here. She came back to the tomb, and apparently Peter and John were gone, and there's no record right here of anybody else at the tomb but Mary, and she stands outside of the tomb. I just kind of imagine what that's like. She's so troubled by everything that's happened. She doesn't understand. She doesn't yet have any inkling that Jesus has risen from the dead. She just knows that the body is gone, and so she stands outside the tomb weeping. I notice this word here for weeping and crying in this verse is the same word we found in John chapter 11 earlier, where Lazarus was raised from the dead. You remember it says that when Jesus came to where Lazarus was dead and he saw Mary and Martha, it says that Mary, she wept loudly, and the people around her wept bitterly. It's the same word used here. This was not this quiet crying of Mary that's found at the tomb, but she's out of control. She is crying out to God, Jesus, why? Why, God, have you allowed this to happen? And so there she is, emotional. She pours out that emotion. She's had a rough life, and she thought it was all coming together, but now it's not. And so she cries out, where is Jesus? Where have they taken him? We do know some things about Mary. We know that Mary had some things in her life that are recorded throughout the Gospels. We know that Mary was someone that Jesus, their lives had intersected probably a year or two before, and that Jesus had delivered Mary from a very sinful life. We really just know this part of her life, that she was delivered from 7 demons. We don't know what that really was. We don't know the details of that. There's a lot of little tiny clues throughout the Gospels about Mary and who she was. But what we know is that she was a long way from God. And she wasn't watching God or listening to God or responding to God. But somewhere along the way, her life intersected Jesus. And Jesus changed her. It says in Luke chapter 8, it talks about how the 12 disciples had gone out to preach, and there were a number of people that were healed of diseases and demon possession, and one of them was this woman named Mary. And we know that her life turned around completely. When she came to Jesus, Jesus touched her and changed her. Jesus took her where she was at, whatever her problems were, whatever her sins were, whatever her demons were, and Jesus had touched Mary, and her life had changed. I think of the scripture that says, he who has been forgiven much loves much, and that characterizes this woman named Mary. Whatever it was in her past, it had devastated her life, and Jesus had delivered her, and she had that sinful life. But then when Jesus turned her life around, she changed so much. Instead of a sinful life, she began to live a devoted life to Jesus. She began to spend time following Jesus and being a disciple of Jesus. And she spent the rest of the time, as we know in the gospel, you have Mary possessed of 7 demons. And then you have Mary who lives a thankful life. And she spends the rest of her life following Jesus and seeking Jesus and wanting to be with him and meeting his needs and ministering to him, caring for him and helping to prepare meals for Jesus. And at one point it says that Mary bowed down and she broke an alabaster box and poured it out on Jesus and washed his feet. She just demonstrated from the time that Jesus changed her that she loved Jesus and she was thankful for him. Those who have been forgiven much love much. And so we also know about Mary that her sorrow was very deep. When you love someone so much as Mary did, you know that the sorrow had to be so deep on the cross. We have to somehow understand how everyone felt at the cross, the fear and the agony and the disappointment and all the lost hopes, and Mary would have been a part of that. She did not understand why Jesus had to go to the cross. She had no concept of what the cross meant and that it meant that Jesus was dying for the sins of the world. So there's a lot of things about Mary that would say, well, Mary didn't understand all of the journey, and we don't always understand what's going on around us. We don't always understand the hand of God. We don't always understand how it's going to come together. But Mary was there and deeply sorrowful. I also see about Mary something else that's probably the most important part of this story from Mary's side, and that Mary had a heart that was seeking Jesus. She kept coming back and looking for Jesus. Verse 11 says, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. She just kept coming back. She didn't have the answers. She didn't find him the first time, but she kept coming back. And you know what? Her story is a good story for us to remember. Sometimes we think we're seeking God, and we try for a while, and maybe we give up, or we don't find him, we don't find the answers, and we get turned around, and we go back another way. But Mary was persistent, and she came back, and she kept seeking God. Seeking God is so important in your life, to understand who God is, and to have a heart that seeks and searches to find his truth and his spirit in your life. Seeking God is so important. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah wrote, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." I just wonder today if there might be some of us here that need to seek again who God is. We need to quiet ourselves before Jesus. We need to quiet ourselves before the risen Christ and say, "Yeah, I used to seek you, and I sought you at some time in the past, but it's been a long time since I've had a hungry heart for God." I want you to know that God is waiting for us to turn back to him. In fact, God has his arms out right now, and he wants us to know him and love him. He wants us to know that he wants to have a relationship with us. What about seeking God in your life, looking for him? What about your priorities in your life? Are you too busy to be quiet and still before God and seek his spirit in your life? In the times of darkness and in the light of day, it's always the right time to seek God. Jesus wants to be very real in our lives, and he wanted to be real to Mary. The power of the resurrection is that God is reaching out to every one of us. God does care about us, and he wants to connect with us where we're at, and no matter what's going on. Mary was seeking, and Jesus found her. Verse 14 says, "I don't know where they have taken my Lord and where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. I realize that in this story, it was Mary that was looking for Jesus, and then Jesus appeared. You know, when we are searching for God and we are hungry for God, God will come to us. Mary came back looking, and she's searching, and she's asking questions, and it says that this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. You know, that's another time. Sometimes when God is coming and talking to us, we might not realize that it's him. We might not hear his voice. We may not see him. It may be that we have to keep looking and keep listening and keep saying, "God, keep speaking to my heart. I'm coming closer and closer to you." I see Mary as one of those people who just kept coming closer and closer and closer, until finally Jesus reached out and touched her and met her need. God wants to reach out to each one of us. What a beautiful picture this is. I just imagine it, Mary standing there crying and talking to the angels, and I don't know where they've put him, and all of a sudden she hears a voice behind her, and she turns around, and her assumption is it's the gardener, whoever takes care of the garden and the tombs, and she says, "If you know where, would you please tell me?" Not yet aware that she's in the presence of Jesus. You know, Jesus is right here. We might not always be aware of his presence, but he's right here. I believe this morning that God is so real in your life and present that all you really have to do is to turn and call out to him, and you'll hear his voice. And so Mary turns, and she says to the gardener, "If you have carried him away, tell me where you put him and I will get him." And then verse 16, one word Jesus said to her, "Mary." One word, "Mary." Whether it was the tone of his voice or the look in his eye or the authority of his presence, I don't know what it is, but all of a sudden Mary turned to him and saw who he was. And when she saw who he was, she cried out, "Father, Rabbi, Rabboni, teacher." In Mary was this full recognition of who Jesus was. And if you call out to Jesus and you look, you call out to him and you seek him, I can promise you today that God will be real in your heart and your life. I imagine there's some people here that wonder, is Jesus real today? Can Jesus speak to my heart today? I want to tell you, if you call out to Jesus and you have a heart that's seeking Him, that Jesus will come to your life and He will speak to you and He will help you and He will guide you. I'm so thankful today that we celebrate a God who reached out to us. It's not just that God is sitting up there on His throne room and saying, well, if they want me, they'll come get me. It wasn't like that at all. God sent His only Son. I mean, He gave up His only Son to come to us, to live a life and to die for our sins because God was reaching out. In the same way, God is reaching out to us today. We know that on the cross, Jesus took on our sins. We know that the reason that Jesus came to the cross was that all of us have sin in our lives. No matter how good you are or how bad you are, sin separates you from God. No matter whether you've done a lot of good things, and no matter if you've done some horrible things, maybe you really only know how to measure that. I want you to know that no matter how good or bad you are, you cannot do anything about the sin in your life. It's there. You're hopeless before a holy God. I mean, if you stood before me as a judge and I'd say, well, yeah, you're a pretty good person, and man, I've seen all the good things you do, and you're not bad at all. Really, you're okay. You're better than the person beside you. You're better than some other people I know and some people in my family. I mean, if you come before me as the judge, I can promise you I'm pretty lenient. I'd say you're a pretty good person, but I want you to know a holy God is not like that. He is without sin, perfect, infinite, eternal, powerful, mighty. He can't tolerate sin. His nature, and I try to understand, what is the nature of God? The nature of God is somehow so high above ours that it's hard for us to process that. I mean, just a little sin, God can't tolerate it. If you try to hide it, there's no way that you can ever get rid of it out of your soul. And the Bible says that the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. You may think you're good enough to stand before God in heaven on your own, but you're not. There's nobody that good here today. And on the other hand, there's nobody that is so bad before God that Jesus didn't say and suffer when He put His arms out. Isaiah 53 says, we all like sheep have gone astray and we've turned our own way, but God has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. God already put on Jesus your sins. So whether they're a little bit or this much or that much, God already paid for your sins on the cross. He paid the price. It's up to you to respond to what Jesus did on the cross. It's up to you to believe that Jesus died for your sins. Doesn't do any good to come to church on Easter and not believe that Jesus died for your sins and ask Him to cleanse you. Doesn't do any good to think that we're good enough without Him. We're not. Bible says that when we die, after man dies, there's the judgment. We're going to stand before God. We all have sin. But do we let Jesus come into us? That's what can cleanse our hearts before an infinite and eternal God. God loves you so much today. Easter is such a great day, but it's such a day to remember why He came. Don't forget it. And we know that Jesus conquered death and hell. That's what Easter's about. Jesus conquered death. He's the only one that can do that. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised some other people, a child. He started to show His power. But I tell you, on Easter morning, that's when He conquered death. He conquered death. Somehow between Good Friday and Easter morning, I'm not sure what, and I'm not sure because people talk about and theologians wonder, what did Jesus do between Friday and Sunday? I'm not sure, but I picture it like this. He somehow, while He was dead, was fighting with Satan. I'm not sure how that is, and that really don't have a lot of scripture to tell us, but somehow between Friday and Sunday, the battle went on about hell. If he would have never come back, there would be no life for us without him arising from the dead. He would just say, Satan won. Sin won. But I want you to know that he conquered death. And our hope is because he conquered death and hell. That's the power of the resurrection. The power of God to change your life is that Jesus rose from the dead. It only takes place by faith in you accepting the truth that he died for your sins and he rose from the dead. You have to have the faith to believe it. You have to have the faith to open your heart and say to God, I know you died for me. I'm a sinner. I'm not good enough. And I believe that the cross was good enough to take my sin. I just want to invite you today on this Easter Sunday to be sure that you believe and you know in your heart that God offers you forgiveness. And if there's anybody here who has not asked God to forgive you and take your sins, if you still have them on your own today, I call you to make the decision and say, God, I can't do it on my own, and I give it to you. And he will cleanse you. He will change you. The Apostle Paul says he will make you a new creature in Christ, give you the gift of everlasting life. There's no greater celebration for us today than to know that Jesus will take our sins and give us everlasting life. We do celebrate today the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection. Would you stand with me this morning as I pray? Hebrews chapter 11 says that without faith it is impossible to please God. It's more than agreeing that Jesus rose from the dead. It's more than saying, yes, I believe that happened. It's coming to that place in your life when you ask Jesus to come in. You ask Jesus to take your sins. You say, I give it to you, Jesus. I ask you to take control of my life. Receive by faith. That's the privilege that we have today. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the great story of the resurrection. I thank you for this woman named Mary. She's just one of many who encountered Jesus as he walked and taught and worked miracles, and you changed her life. She was hungry for you and seeking you, and she was emotionally distraught when you died on the cross, yet she kept with an open heart to God and seeking you. And what a beautiful way that you revealed yourself to Mary on that morning. I know today, God, that you want to reveal yourself to each one of us. I know, God, that you want to be real in our heart and our lives. Help us today to know what a powerful, infinite God you are. Help us to know that Jesus died for our sins, and by confessing our sins and trusting Jesus, that our lives can be clean again through Jesus. Thank you that you cleanse us by your blood. Thank you that you have victory over death and hell. Pray, God, that we would seek you with our lives. Help us, God, to not forget you when we walk from this place, but to hold you in high honor, to seek you with everything that we are. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.